Hey, good morning. Once again, super glad you could be here with us as we continue in this series, the second week of our series called Detox, where we're looking at getting rid of the things that are holding us back. Really glad you could be here. If you have been here long enough, if you've been hanging around, or if you know me, you may know that I'm a pretty big sports junkie, I think is the most fair way to put it. I love playing, I love watching, I love reading about, and I love talking about all things sports. One of the things that's always incredibly fascinating to me, and sometimes satisfying if it's a team that I don't like, but what's always fascinating to me is when star-studded teams don't produce. Right, when there's teams of just all-stars that don't enjoy the success that everybody thought they would. Every year in every sport, rosters are created, big free agents are added to the team, and there's always a handful of teams that on paper, as they say, on paper, they look like they should just be far and ahead above all the rest. There's already a solid core in place, and then they just added the big all-star, and now there's no reason why that team or why such and such a team shouldn't just dominate that season. We see it every year. If you're a sports fan yourself, you maybe see the same thing, but maybe you see this as well, because what happens so frequently? The season gets rolling, and it's not working. The wins aren't piling up. The team isn't clicking. The big stars aren't producing. And everybody's wondering, what's going on? I mean, the players, the coaches, the fans, the media, nobody can figure it out. Why? Because on paper, right, these players, right, their names, their ability, their stats, their potential, it predicted a much different story than the one that's playing out. On paper, right, the team that's walking out onto the field isn't the one that looked like it was when all was being put together. I see this over and over again. Maybe you do too. I see this over and over again in the sports world. But when I think about it, or when I stop and when I just step back, when I think about it, I see the same thing happening over and over again in the real world, in the world that you and I are living in the lives that we are living, right? It's people who, man, should be killing it, right? But are really just kind of maybe getting along. People that should be killing it but are just kind of limping along. So often, right, if we really take a step back and look at what's happening in the world, and maybe what's happening in us, so often there are parts and there are pieces and there are places in our lives that just aren't working like we thought they would. We're not experiencing the success or the fulfillment or the enjoyment or the contentment that we were hoping for. We're not really thriving in some area that really mattered most to us. We're not really thriving in various seasons of life like we thought we would be. Right? I know that in some early stages of my life and career and ministry, I can totally relate to this. I think we all can. Right? We're not thriving in some area that matters to us in a way that we thought we would. For some of us, it is in our career. Right? Things aren't clicking, no matter the job change, no matter the company change or the position change, something still isn't right. Right? For some of us, it's in our relationships. We thought by now that things would be different, right? We thought by now things would surely be further along. Things would be tighter now or closer now or stronger now. We thought we'd have found the right one by now. Right, for some of us in our marriage or in our family, right, we're not really sure why, but there's tension, right? Things aren't clicking these days for you and your spouse like you thought they would be. Maybe your relationship with your kids is just kind of at an impasse, and you're trying to figure out, why is this so strained? Why are things not going the way both of us hoped it might be? For others of us, it could be our faith. Right? Maybe God seems so distant. You don't feel as close to him right now as you hoped you would. You don't feel as close to him right now as you wanted, right? Your faith feels stagnant. You feel a little bit empty, and you're kind of feeling like, hey, why isn't my faith heading in the direction that I was hoping it would be? I don't know what it is for you, right? Because it could be any number of things. It could be any number of parts or pieces or places in our lives that don't feel like they're working. And what's frustrating for so many of us is that on paper, our lives look like they should be telling a whole different story, right? On paper, our lives look like they should be going up into the right. For some of us, it's different, but we're smart, we're hardworking, we received all the right training, we've got great qualities, we live in a great community, we work for a great company, we've got great people around us, we listen to the right podcasts, we listen to the right books, we go to the right church every Sunday, which we all know is, okay, that's not important which church we go to, okay? But we all know the feeling of going like, hey, I'm trying to get this thing going, this part of my life going, but it just isn't working like I was hoping. And so what I want to suggest today is this, that sometimes when something isn't really working out here, right, when that's something that we've kind of experienced over and over again in a way that's maybe a surprise to us, that when something isn't working out here, it might be time to do the hard work of looking at what's in here, at what's inside of us. Because sometimes, right, sometimes many of the things that aren't working out here, sometimes they can be traced either with a solid line or maybe even just with a dotted line. But sometimes the things that aren't working out here can be traced to the very same thing that's maybe hidden right in here. It doesn't show up on paper. It doesn't show up on our resume. It doesn't show up on our Facebook profile. It doesn't show up on our personality tests, the Myers-Briggs. It doesn't show up on the Enneagram test. But it can be just as influential, if not more. It can be just as influential as all those things that do. And so this morning, here's what I want to do. This morning, I want to see if I can just gently shine a spotlight on what it might be inside of us as we continue in week two of this series called Detox. I want to see if we can't identify what it is. I want to see if I can help us identify what it is, what it could be that might be holding us back, might be getting in the way from all that God desires for us, and what it is that maybe some of us need to get rid of this year. We get our first glimpse of it, what it is that might be holding us back, what it is that might be standing in the way. We get our first glimpse of it when we flip through the Old Testament. We get our first glimpse when we start flipping through the pages of what we call the Old Testament. And let me call a quick time out here just to give you some context, okay? Here's the best kind of quick summary I can give you of the Old Testament, just so you know where this, what it is that we're going to read, just so you kind of know where this stuff is coming into play. Let me try to give you a real quick summary here of what's happening in the part of the Bible that we call the Old Testament, okay? God created people. God created a good and a right relationship with his people, okay? And because God loved these people so much, he entered into an agreement with people, what we call a covenant. That's just a promise, a bond with his people, but people broke the promise, right? People broke the agreement, and so the Old Testament then at large, right? Really just quick flyover view. The Old Testament at large is the story of God's people finding their way back to God again, right? And so much of what is written, so much of what we're going to read here in the Old Testament, it's wisdom and it's instruction, part of the story of how they do that best. And it's wisdom and it's instruction that really serves us well too, and our effort to try to get our lives in line as well. And it's that wisdom, okay? It's that instructions. It's at time that warning that sometimes we read that I think points to what it is that might be, that could be holding you back today. So if you would, look with me at what Proverbs 28:13 says. I love what our guest 2 weeks ago said about the book of Proverbs. This is like tweetable wisdom from the Bible. This is really great. Here's what Proverbs 28:13 says. People who conceal, or cover, that is, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. Okay, I don't know about you, but I want to prosper in life. I really do. I think you do too. That's what I was kind of getting at the beginning here. We want our lives, right? In all places, in all seasons, in all eras, we want our lives to be, you know, moving up and to the right in faith and family and in career and in everything, right? We want our lives to be moving up and to the right. Well, a prosperous life, it says here, it seems like it depends on what it is then we keep hidden in here. Now, look at this kind of bit of instruction, this warning from the prophet Isaiah, right? Prophets spoke on God's behalf to God's people. Here's what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 29. He says, "What sorrow awaits." Okay, that doesn't sound good. "What sorrow awaits," he says. I don't want sorrow awaiting me. I don't think you want sorrow awaiting you. So let's find out who he says this sorrow is awaiting for. "What sorrow awaits for those who try to" what? "Those who try to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their evil deeds in the" what? "In the dark." Thinking, "The Lord can't see us," they say. He doesn't know what's going on. Okay, in both of these, right, if we just kind of look at what's being said here, in both of these, there seems to be a connection between the lives that we are living out here, the lives that we are experiencing out here, and what it is that we keep hidden in here, right? If we want to prosper in life, if we want to avoid some kind of unnecessary sorrow in life, and if we want to experience more of what God has planned for us, it seems like there's one thing then that is sure to get in the way. There's one thing that maybe some of us need to get rid of in our lives. Here it is. It's hidden sin. It's hidden sin, right? What does it say? Those who cover their sins will not prosper. They will not experience the fullness of the life that God came to offer us. And then on top of that, what sorrow awaits those whose deeds are done in the dark. Folks, here's what I want us to know today as we look at this, as we try to figure out what it's saying. Here's what I want us to know today. What's kept in the dark limits what's possible in the light. But if we look what's being said here, right? Those who cover their sins will not prosper, and what sorrow awaits those whose deeds are done in the dark. These are just a few. We could keep going, but what I want us to know is that what's kept in the dark limits what's possible in the light. And so often for you and for me, so often, if we can just be honest here, so often it's the sin in our life that we keep in the dark, that we keep covered, that we conceal. Now let me pause for a quick second here and take a time out to acknowledge something. I understand that we don't like the word sin today. Get it? I get that, right? It's religious and it's, you know, judgmental sounding and it's old-fashioned and it sounds scary and it sounds, you know, harsh, and we don't like that. But here's the deal. It simply is a word that comes from the Greek word hamartia that means to miss the mark or to wander off the path. That's all it is. It's a word that meant to miss the mark, often used actually in the days of archery long ago. Miss the mark. To wander off of the path. And here's the thing, okay? It happens to all of us. It absolutely happens to all of us that we miss the mark, right? No one is exempt from it. Christians aren't exempt from it. Church people aren't exempt from it. Pastors aren't exempt from it. The Green Bay Packers aren't exempt from it. We all inevitably miss the mark. Some of you are thinking, yeah, you just missed the mark with that last comment there. Okay, we all inevitably miss the mark. We wander off of the path. And there are times, right? There are times when that's a little easier to admit. Ah, hey, you know what? I lost my temper there. Sorry about that. Hey, you know what? I should have been more honest with you. My bad. I'll do better next time. Hey, you're right. You know what? I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Sometimes it's easy to admit, hey, my bad. But there are other times. There are other times when we miss the mark and we keep missing the mark. There are other times when we're a few steps off of the right path and are choosing to be a few steps off of the right path when it's not as easy. It's not as easy to be upfront about it all. And in those cases, what do? We often work pretty darn hard to cover our tracks. When we're a few feet off of the right path, we usually work pretty darn hard to cover our tracks, to keep it a secret, to keep this stuff in the dark, to keep this stuff hidden from God and from others. That's our natural reaction so often, right? That's our natural reaction when we're, you know, concerned that maybe we have done something wrong, right? Hiding is what we do naturally when we feel like maybe we have missed the mark. We hide. Okay? No one demonstrates this better, this natural reaction, right? I think hiding is our natural reaction. When we feel like maybe I'm not doing so hot here, no one demonstrates this better than my 3-year-old son, Oli. Okay, if you know him, if you've talked to me about him, you know that he's quite possibly one of the most sensitive kids in the world. If you even look at him, I kid you not, if you even look at him with disappointment in your eye, the kid melts. Seriously, like you look at him wrong and he's melting. You almost start to feel bad when you have to correct him because he feels so bad. He really just loses it. Okay, but more recently, he's starting to take a new approach. Okay, he still feels bad. You know that. He still feels bad. He still knows that maybe I did something wrong here. But here's what happens now. He hides. when he knows that me and Erica are like, maybe not, buddy, he hides. Right? As if we can't like see where he is, as if we don't know where he went, he hides, right? Here's the deal. We spend a lot of time as a family at the little island in our kitchen, and the kids sit on these stools that we pull up to the counter, okay? If he's doing something that maybe me and Erica are feeling like, maybe you shouldn't be doing that, all I have to do, I kid you not, all I have to do is like give him the serious look. All I have to do is say, dude, and dude goes into hiding. Immediately goes into hiding. Lip curls, he goes silent, and he shrinks down underneath the island, and he hides. Lucy, like, knows this. She's like, remember when he hides, right? He shrinks down and hides underneath the island in the 18 inches between the top of his seat and the underside of the counter. The dude hides. Just the other morning, this week, he came running into our room way, 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 way too early, and this is becoming a little bit of a trend lately. And so into the darkness I spoke and I said, buddy, you cannot keep doing this. Whew. Instantly hiding into position. Okay, I kid you not, drops to the floor, butt in the air, head shoved underneath our bed. It was amazing, right? He's trying to hide. If he doesn't have anything to hide behind, he just uses both of his hands, right? You give him that look, you say, dude, and he goes. The dude hides. Right? When he knows he's on the edge, he hides. Here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. You and I do the same thing. You and I do the same thing. When we're doing things that we know we shouldn't, when we're doing things that we feel like, you know what, maybe I'm missing the mark here. Maybe I'm off of the right path here. Maybe I know I'm choosing to be off of the path here. We hide. We do the very same thing. And the truth is, this has been the case since the very beginning of time. What do we know happened, right? God put Adam and Eve into the garden. He gave them one simple rule to follow, and they break it. And they know they messed up. And then God comes calling, and he says to Adam, Adam, where are you? And Adam replied in Genesis 3, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I hid. We hide. Right? It started then, and it's almost as if it's been like just hardwired into humanity ever since. It's our natural reaction when we're doing things or involved with things or participating with things or looking at things or thinking things or wishing things or wanting things that we know are maybe missing the mark. We hide. We hide those things. We try to cover up those things, and we let those parts of our lives exist only in secret and always in the dark and in the shaded back alleys and back rooms of our lives. Friends, here's what I want you to know this morning. It's not rocket science, but here's what I want you to know. Here's what I think somebody needs to hear today. The dark is a dangerous place to be. The dark is a dangerous place to be. Anything in your life, big or small, right? It doesn't have to, we hear sin and we think of these big, like, gross atrocities, right? Anything in your life, big or small, that you are trying to keep a secret, that you're trying to keep hidden in the dark or out of sight, that you might be trying to cover up, it is holding you back. It is holding you back from what God really wants for you. And here's the thing, eventually it will harm you. It is not good for you. Why? Because, folks, nothing healthy grows in the dark. You catch that? You know this too. Nothing healthy grows in the dark. Think about it. Flowers, trees, fruit, vegetables, the kind of things that you want to grow, the kind of things that you want to flourish, they all require what? Sunshine. They need the light. On the other hand, mold, fungus, moss, right? These are the kind of things that thrive in dark and shady environments. And that's not the kind of growth that you want going on inside of you. All right, so if there's any part of your day, if there's any activity, if there's any habit, if there's any media that you consume, if there's any websites that you visit, if there's any anger that you harbor in your heart, any thoughts that you think, or any relationships that you foster that you wouldn't want your spouse or your kids or your parents or your grandparents or your boss or your neighbors to know about, it's a fungus. It's a fungus. Right? It might be small, it might be containable right now, but it will not stay that way. It'll eventually spread and it'll grow more and more toxic until it poisons you and until it hurts the people that you love the most. It has to be brought into the light. Why? Because what's kept in the dark limits what's possible in the light. What's kept in the dark prohibits and restricts and holds back what is possible in the light. Here's why this is such a big deal to me. I said this as this series got started, but I really believe that God, no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter where we're from, no matter what we've been up to, I really believe that God has a really great, prosperous future for us, that God has a really great life planned for us when we are walking in the light. Really believe that. So then let me just ask you this, right? In light of what God really wants for us, let me ask you, is there any part of you, big or little, is there any part of you that needs to be brought into the light? Are you ready to take a step out of the shadows and out of the dark? Could be the first step, actually, toward a really bright and a really prosperous future that God has planned for you. Step out of the dark. Step out of the shadows. Step out of the back alleys in the back rooms of our lives. You ready to take that kind of step this year, this week? If you are ready, and I hope so many of us would be mindful of some place in our life where that's a step that we need to take. If you are ready, let me break this step down into three smaller steps, into three next steps for you to take. Here's the first one. Claim it. Okay, you got to start. If this is you, if you're saying, hey, there's something in me, big or little, there's something in me that I want to bring into the light. If that's a step that you want to take out of the darkness, you have to start by admitting what it is that is hidden in you, right? You got to start by getting real about what it is that you don't want to be hidden any longer. And you got to name it, and you got to claim it, and you got to define it. Because here's the deal, right? You cannot defeat what you cannot define. Some of these things that we keep hidden, these are things that we want to defeat, that we want to overcome, right? But we cannot defeat what it is that we cannot define. So we got to be real about it. We got to define it. We got to give it a name, and we got to claim it and say, yep, that's it. That's what I don't want to keep hidden any longer. We got to claim it. Number two, we got to confess it. We got to confess it in our prayers. You got to confess it in your heart, and you got to turn this stuff over to God so that you can experience the forgiveness that God and God alone is offering to you, right? God does not want to punish you because of these things. God does not want to scold you. God does not want to slap you on the wrist. God doesn't want to turn you away. God doesn't want to reject you. He wants to forgive you so that nothing would be holding you back any longer. 1 John 1, 8 through 9 reminds us about God's grace and about God's mercy for us when we return to him. Here's what it says. It begins with a helpful little reminder here. It says this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Then verse 9, but if we what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will what? And will punish us? No. And will scold us? No. And will turn us away? No. Will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Folks, that's the good news. That God stands ready to forgive us when we turn to him and we confess this stuff to him. That's good news. Maybe the best news, but there's still a final step. Maybe the most important one, right? We got to claim it, we got to confess it, but then we need to do this. We need to confide in someone else about it. We got to claim it, we got to confess it, and then we got to confide in someone else about it. Forgiveness comes from God, yes. Super important step in this deal, but healing, transformation, I think, comes from confiding in others who are in our corner, who've got our back, who are standing behind us. Here's what James 5, verse 16 says. It says, therefore, confess your sins to who? To one another. And pray for one another so that you may be healed. Goes on to say, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Folks, I don't think we can look past this last part. I think the part that so many of us kind of stop short, right? Confessing to God what it is that we keep hidden, it's so important, so vital. The first piece of this whole deal, but it's not the only piece. It's not the only part. Confessing to others is where I think this gets real and powerful and transformational. Scary? Yeah. But powerful and liberating and transformational? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. There's a fellow covenant pastor, right? That's the part of the churches that we're a part of, covenant churches. There's a fellow covenant pastor who tells the story of this kind of transformation, this kind of transformational step for a woman in his church. And I wanted to share it with you, right? It didn't happen here among us, but it did happen, and I found it really meaningful, and so I want to share this story with you. Is after he preached a similar message in his church, that a small group of men and women, they started to meet together in a little small group Bible study setting. And there's a woman in the group that he called Marla that was there that night for this small group. And she was a brand new Christian and admitted to being incredibly nervous to join this group. Think of how some of you felt the first time you walked into a church or, you know, kind of were a part of a little Christian gathering. This woman was nervous. At one point in the night, a single guy in the group He told the group about a kind of a hidden sin in his life, something that he had been praying about to God for a really long time, but something that he had never told anyone else about before, that he struggled with an addiction to pornography. Okay? Marla admitted, after the fact, Marla admitted that at that moment she could barely catch her breath, and she was certain that this group was going to turn on this guy. But they didn't. And what happened next would help Marla make a pivotal decision that would change the rest of her life. After the guy confessed to this lustful problem of his, instead of looking down on him, everyone in the group embraced him. All of a sudden, another guy talked about his own struggles with pornography, and then a woman in the group shared about a similar challenge that gripped her during a season in her life too, and she explained how Christ and how the friends in her corner helped her to overcome it. And then on down the line, each person in this group in their own way, they went on to encourage this guy, and then everyone joined hands and passionately prayed for their brother in Christ. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool moment, but it gets better, okay? That's not even the best part. Let me read to you how this pastor tells you the rest of the story. If I can, I'll read the words that he wrote here. He said, seeing firsthand the unconditional love and acceptance, it moved Marla to take a risk. Trembling with emotion, she explained to her newfound spiritual family that she'd gotten pregnant in high school, and the father of her baby skipped out, leaving her to raise her son by herself. Struggling to make ends meet, she had taken a job as an exotic dancer. She despised her job and knew it was wrong, but the money was good and it paid the bills. But she'd give anything to quit her degrading job, but felt trapped with no way out. That's when a chain reaction, he writes, that's when a chain reaction of miracles set off. Just as when the guy confessed what it is that was hidden in him. Just as he confessed what was hidden in him, the group expressed to Marla the very same love and acceptance. And a group member boldly told her, if you quit your job, I'll give you money to help cover the bills. And then, like the closing scene from It's a Wonderful Life, my favorite movie, like the scene from It's a Wonderful Life, when everyone brings George Bailey money to help in a time of need, everyone in the group started pledging financial help, and within minutes, the group committed enough money to last her a couple months. Marla couldn't believe what was happening. It was as if God himself reached down and hugged her through his people. On Monday, he writes, Marla marched into the club where she was working and told the manager she was finished and never coming back. On Tuesday, one of the small group members pulled a favor from a friend and got Marla an interview at his company. The manager liked Marla, and on Wednesday, because of God's goodness through his children, Marla started a new job and a new life. Folks, I think there are some people here today that are a step away from a new life, a step away from a new day, a new season, a new chapter that is waiting for you. And that step is a simple step out of the dark, a step out of hiding, a step out of the shadows and into the light. My hope is that is something that each and every one of us here, right? That each and every person that calls Mid-Current home, my prayer is that is something that each of us would experience and that each of us would be on both the giving and the receiving end of, maybe both at one time or another. My prayer is that each of us, that this would be a place that each of us could experience that same thing, right? If it could happen at one Covenant Church, it can happen at another. It could happen here. And so when it comes to the things that we keep hidden, big or little, right? It doesn't have to be the crazy atrocities. When it comes to the things that we keep hidden in the dark, big or little, major or minor, right? Significant or seemingly insignificant. When it comes to these things that we keep hidden in the dark, let's be willing to take that step into the light. We may be amazed at the life and the freedom and the future that is awaiting us. Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for this morning, and we give you thanks, God, for the reminder that you are for us, God, not against us, that you've got a great life in store for us and planned for us, God, one that you are hoping that we would step into and embrace each and every day. God, if there are people in here who don't feel like you are a God that's for them and on their side that wants the best for them, God, I pray that you would start softening hearts so that we would see who you are and what it is that you really want for us. God, and if there are any parts of our lives, God, that we keep hidden, that are maybe holding us back from what it is that you want for us, God, from the life that you want us to experience, would you this week, God, would you just gently shine that same spotlight on those parts and those pieces of our lives that we keep hidden? And God, would you surround us with the people? Would you surround us with the community who would be there, who would be in our corner, who would have our back? So we could take a step, a big step or a little step, God, that we could take some kind of step out of the dark, that we could get rid of these things that are holding us back. As God, as this new year continues, that is our hope and that is our prayer, that we could get rid of this stuff out of our lives and that we could experience more of the life and the freedom and the joy and the future that you have planned for us. God, I want each and every one of us here to experience that life, to take a step toward that life that you have planned for us. God, would you help us to do that this week? And we pray these things in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.